Galatians chapter 5. Verse 7. Something's not lining up here. Let's see. Galatians 5:7. I'm going to start reading in verse 11. If I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. All right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness to us. I thank you for the gospel message. I thank you for the Spirit who comes down and indwells the heart of everyone who believes the gospel. And then, dear God, you remain with us within to conform us to your blessed image. I thank you. I praise you for that. I thank you for this church tonight. I thank you for your presence in a special way. In addition to being within each believer, you're here with us in a special way tonight to minister to our hearts. And we look forward to that, dear God. And be with Sister Stephanie in the nursery, and feel her and use her there, dear God. And be with those who could not be here with us tonight. Might they find solace in prayer and know that we've remembered them and prayed for them, dear God. And just once again, build your church and encourage us. Do the work that needs to be done in each heart. Lord, we ask and pray tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So, rolling along, we've seen true faith is going to produce love. Holding to the law makes Christ, I would say, ineffective, because God intends to work out by grace through faith. So if you're trying to look to God for a bargain, look how righteous I am, God, well, you don't get saved. If you try to get, you know, pure righteous in God's eyes by the works you do, then rather than the righteousness of Christ, then that doesn't please God either. So we looked at that, did the true and false thing there with the quiz there. We saw holding to Christ makes love necessary, because that's how grace works. Faith which worketh by love. We saw that in this chapter here. We looked at the false teaching, the source of the false teaching, and the gospel road, the Judaizers up there, the influence of the false teaching, how it's a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and they'll bear their judgment, whoever they be. And they are to reject the false teachers. And we've seen that through the study in Galatians chapter 5 here. And then tonight we see that love produces service. Love is going to produce service. Verse 13, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we think about the Apostle Paul, and we're looking at the principle of loving service. And he kind of hits the pause button and makes it very plain here. What am I trying to say here? Don't use... you know, your liberty is an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. What's this all about? It's about serving one another with this love that God has put in you. The love of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us, the Bible says. And so that is to move us to serve one another. So he just makes that very plain and clear statement. We've not been freed to sin. Liberty is not a synonym for license. Love longs to please its object. You know, a husband and wife get married and they love one another. What do they want to do? They want to please one another. And that's what love does. And salvation is to work the same way. We love him, why? Because he first loved us, amen? And so, because he pleased not himself, he wasn't looking forward to the Father turning his face away from him. He wasn't looking forward to bearing the sins of the whole world and having that separation between him and the Father. He pleased not himself in that. He bare the cross, despising the shame, the Bible says, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So he did all that for us. Why? Because he loves us. And so we ought to love one another and want to please him in reaching out, of course, to the brethren and in that way. The law demanded service under the threat of punishment. Christ's death frees us from that bondage, and we've been freed to serve God and one another by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our motive is what? Love, which involves a voluntary decision to help someone in need. Just think about a marriage. Husband gets married and tells his dear wifey, "Now, honey, here's a list of what I want you to do. And if you do this, all this, I'll know that you love me. Here it is." You know, well, how's that going to work? No. But what about when the husband sees the wife just doing some of those things when he didn't mention it? Or maybe he asks one time and then it's done ever after that. And vice versa. The husband doing things for the wife. That's a relationship, isn't it? That's that spirit moving, and that's what God has always wanted with his people. Christ chose to die on the cross for sinners. And this was 1 John 4:9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." That's a powerful statement. We didn't have any life apart from Christ. He sent him into the world that we might live through him. Here in his love, 1 John 4:10, "Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And beloved, if God so loved us, what? We ought also to love one another. And that same powerful love ought to work and flow through our hearts. So we think about liberty. And there are those who want to focus on themselves. It's the age of grace. I can do whatever I want. Well, we're learning that's not what we've been freed for. Jesus came what? I heard an interesting message, and it's provoked some thought. But the message had said that God didn't come to save us from hell or to get us to heaven. Those are merely byproducts. That was that he came to save us from our sins. Think about that. I mean, hell is the penalty for sin. And heaven, of course, is perfect fellowship with God. And so when sin's taken away and we're taken to heaven, we'll have that. But it's interesting. I'm not saying I agree 100% with that. But it's interesting to think about. The Bible does often say Christ died for our sins. He came to take away our sins. Because it's our sins, you know, that keep us from having fellowship with God. And thank the Lord that he came to take it away. But if we're freed and we have a self-focus, what kind of things and consequences is that going to bring into our lives? Well, if we're going to look at being liberated for ourselves or for what we want, it's gonna promote and feed a love for self. This probably isn't politically correct, but like the Indian that had got saved and said, and he had the Holy Spirit dwell in him, and he explained it was like two dogs in him that were fighting. both God's spirit and his old spirit trying to get control of his life. And someone asked him, how do you know which one wins? He said, it's the one I feed the most. And so we need to be, if we're feeding self, guess what's going to grow? Self. What comes from love of self? Sin. You know, if I just do what I want to do, that's sin. I mean, unless if I'm not yielding to God, if I haven't aligned what I want to do with God, what God wants me to do, because he owns us, and what else would it bring? Bondage. You get believers can get bound in sin as they ignore the Holy Spirit, and it becomes harder and harder. Someone asked, well, can you sin and repent and God forgive you? Every time. See, God never runs out of forgiveness, but what? We run out of repentance. Because if we keep sinning the same sin, what? We get used to that. And now we may say we're sorry for it, but you know what? It doesn't seem so bad the second time you do it. And it's not quite so miserable the third time you do it. And the problem is we get used to that. See? And God doesn't run out of forgiveness. We run out of repentance. And then we're trapped because we're not really repenting. And so we're bound in that sin, bondage. But if we're freed to serve one another, that's a whole different story. That's Christ-like, isn't it? And that's why he freed us. He is the creator. And when you use the creation the way the creator wants it to be used, the creation is fulfilled. And it's what he made us for, is to be like, to have the fellowship like he has with his dear son. So what consequences come from that? I don't know if there's a question in your books here on this or not, that goes along with this slide or not, but... consequences for others. We get a love for others. It's going to grow. Paul prayed, for the Ephesians that their love might abound more and more. It's not like these foods of the Spirit need to be cultivated in our lives as we yield to God, and they can abound more and more. But love for others will grow. Service, we mentioned last week having a servant's heart. That's going to come. Why? Because Christ had a servant's heart, didn't he? Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And indeed he did. Love for others, service, and then continued freedom. That's freedom. When we're free to set the tyrant of self aside and serve God, that's freedom. When we can say no to sin in our lives and do something that glorifies God instead, folks, that's freedom. That's freedom. And thank God for that. He has freed us so that we can walk in this relationship with him in this great manner. And then we see the basis of loving service. Loving service, before I get on to be here. Even though Christians don't live under the law, we're still under the obligation to love. We sing that song, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. So he paid a debt for me. And Jesus said, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't that what he said in John 14:15? In Romans 13:8, he encouraged us, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. In other words, don't ever think you've paid the debt of love. Don't ever think, well, I've loved enough. I've been gracious enough to others. Don't ever think that debt's been paid. Always feel the sense of that debt. And where did that debt come from? Because Christ loved me.
The one who left heaven, the one who is one with God, came and died for me and saved me from my eternal hell. And now that one has told me, now I want you to go love others. I want you to love me and I want you to go love others. And that's true for each of us, born again. So we're always to be conscious of that debt of love we owe. And we sing a song, "Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do." That's that debt of love. And thank God that even in the Holy Spirit, He helps us to live in that and to see that. Still getting ahead of myself here. So the base is loving service. Verse 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So that's really what it is. It's interesting, this thought just came to my head here just now. He says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we're going to see later on in the lesson that the law is summarized in two commandments, which are, anybody? Love God and love your neighbor. But here it says, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I was thinking about that. Thought just came to mind there. How do we love God? By loving others, don't it? Can we benefit God in any way? Can we make Him better in any way? We love God how? By loving others. Ministry together. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But His commandments are how we love others, and how we live in this life. The basis of loving service. In Matthew, the Judaizers, they had insisted on the need to keep the Jewish law. In their zeal to comply regulations and traditions, they failed to exercise what God wants most. God desires earnest love and considers it the fulfilling of the law. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? His reply, Matthew 22:37 and following, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." You can hang them all on those two. And so question 16 asks, what two commandments regarding love did Jesus cite? And that would be those commandments, as we've mentioned already, to love God and to love one another. And remember, too, these two commandments are not just a summarization of the law. They are clearly stated in the law. They're a part of, they are the summation, a summation of the law, but they're also clearly stated in the law. You'll find the neighbor one in Deuteronomy 6:5. Thou shalt love, loving God in Deuteronomy 6:5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's in the law. You'll find the one about the neighbor in Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And so we see it, those things spelled out very clearly, even in the law, and they also are a summation, of all those commandments. So the basis of loving service. Then finally, the contrast of loving service. Verse 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Biting and devouring. The Apostle Paul referred to the Judaizers as dogs. He said, "Beware of dogs," in Philippians 3:2, "beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision."
They call themselves the circumcision. Paul called them the concision, the mutilators. They're mutilating the faith is what they're doing. And in ancient times, the dogs in the cities roamed the streets as scavengers. It's not the picture of, you know, cute little Fido sitting on your lap, on the couch. The dogs were scavengers. And often the dogs would be out. They get into the garbage in the cities. They'd fight over the garbage in the cities. Remember the dogs that ate Jezebel? And that was the picture of them. And so it's interesting that Paul says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." See, the Judaizers, as they would do these things, selfish believers who serve themselves rather than one another in love, tend to bite and devour one another, and they have no peace. Who seek to be justified by the law. And they tend to judge when they have their list of, well, if you do this and do this and do this and do this and do this, then you're righteous. No, because you could have done this and done this and done this and done this with a wrong heart. You could have done it all with a wrong heart. And then none of it's righteous in God's eyes. But they get these lists, and so somebody doesn't keep up, and now what? There's kind of a little victory, there's a little fight going, a little dog fight going on back and forth there. They're just not, they're biting and devouring. That's where law keeping leads. Where does grace lead? Grace leads to forgiveness, doesn't it? Grace leads to us praying for one another. Grace leads to us loving one another. Grace is so much more powerful. Faith that works by love, and that grace that God has provided for that. Only God's love can produce harmony. And so with that, we're encouraged. And Brother Brian will continue with the lesson in Galatians next week. And so we see the lesson for tonight. Serve others and God out of love. Serve others and God out of love. All righty. I'm going to very quickly read one missionary letter, and then we'll be done for tonight. Have a letter here from Brother Bernard. And it's his September letter. And Brother Bernard says, "A few weeks ago, there were more visitors on Sunday morning than had ever been before at any given time. Praise the Lord. There was six in attendance that day, and one of them was none other than Mrs. Angela, whom I have asked prayers for in previous letters. She had never showed any interest in visiting, but always had excuses why she could not. It was about 4 years ago that I had visited her." I'm thankful he's remained faithful there. "It's about 4 years ago I visited her on visitation, but she would always reject the gospel based on the thinking that other groups, and I included, just wanted her to change her religion. Two others, however, have continued to visit, but it is not every week. What is different about them is that they are opening up to ask questions and clarification about something they either did not understand or that went against what they believed about sin or salvation in particular. What I see so often is a hold that religion has on some of the people, mostly older adults. It does. If you've have one faith, and be it even the wrong faith, and had it a lot of years, it's hard to shake that. The younger adults, on the other hand, generally do not attend or are not even involved in any church at all, even though they might claim to be whatever their parents might be. Often they are more prone to see life as a series of environmental factors and would prefer not to be bothered with anything that they perceive as would hinder their lifestyle." You'll find that in a lot, for sure. But you never know when you're going to find one searching, amen? You never know. Christ would have died if only one person in the world got saved. Christ would have died for him and risen again. He goes on, "It's notable that Wednesday morning is when I am most likely to meet some of them for the first time when they attend the lessons being given at the neighborhood center in Seoul. there is still at least an interest in the lessons continuing on as it is placed in the local newspapers. I will be beginning a new set of lessons in October with repetition of one or two lessons from previous months. Mrs. Eileen, who is one of the new visitors, has at least verbally said that she would like to attend the Wednesday morning sessions at the neighborhood center. In his service, Bernard Sylvan. So we're thankful for that letter. We'll pray for him, and then we'll be done for tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your love to us. And dear God, your mercies, they are new every morning, and we thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for Brother Bernard, who has served you faithfully in Curacao these years, and it's an affluent neighborhoods there, and God, it's not an easy road there, and being a single man alone. I thank you for there's some that are disciples there that are helping him, dear God. We thank you to hear that about the six visitors here recently, and these that have come have, though invited so long ago, we pray you continue to work in their hearts, dear God, and draw them in. Continue to give Brother Bernard strength and courage and wisdom and grace in dealing with these people. And Father, we pray that there'd be more souls saved there, more lives changed, Christians would grow. Dear God, you would be glorified, honored, and lifted up there in his ministry. Keep him safe. Help him. Give him healing in his back. I know that he struggles with back problems. And we pray to just continue to give him grace there. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for each one here, the ministry that they do. And Father, it's such a blessing to me and to so many. And Father, we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.